Thank you, choir. That was lovely. So good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Rita Webster, and I am honored to serve on your Board of Trustees. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. Our services are at 9:30 and 11:30 Central Time. We live stream at 9:30, and a warm welcome to our live streaming audience today. You can watch our services anytime, on demand, at our website or on YouTube. Coffee, tea, and Reverend Pat is this afternoon at 1 p.m. in the Fillmore Room. So if you are new or feel new-ish and you'd like to come and spend some time with Reverend Pat, please come and get to know the group as well as Reverend Pat. The nominating committee is seeking qualified board applicants. If you feel called to put your name forward as a possible candidate to serve on our board of trustees, we invite you to an informational meeting, which will be Tuesday evening, to learn more about what that involves. Reverend Tony's Season of Light continues on Wednesday evenings. Everyone's invited to the winter solstice service that's happening on December 21st. Elementary children are invited for a winter arts and craft class that's on Thursday afternoons during the month of December. That happens at 4:30 here, and our former YOUer Brianna Kirwin Dooley is leading the fun. Next Sunday is our holiday sing-along with Lori Dockin and Aaron Schwab. It's going to take place right after the second service. That's always a lot of fun. Let's see. We've got two options for Christmas Eve candlelight services on December 24th, coming up so quickly. Join us for our 5 p.m. family-friendly service or our 8 p.m. service that includes the Unity Choir. The 8 p.m. service will be live streamed, and since Christmas Day is on Sunday, we'll have one service only at 9:30, and that service will also be live streamed. Details for any of our upcoming events and activities are in your bulletin. They're on the church website, on our Facebook page, and in our weekly emails happening at Unity and Peak at the Week. You can also email or call the church office with any questions. And now, please join Reverend Pat for our opening prayer.
Thank you. Join me in our opening prayer. Father, Mother God, we are indeed grateful. Grateful for the opportunity to be here together in this sanctuary today. Grateful to create this energy, this consciousness of love. Grateful that we are here to celebrate not only the birth of Jesus, but also the birth of that Christ presence within us. And so on this third Sunday of Advent, we surrender again. We surrender to that infinite, invisible presence within that is always there, guiding and directing us, uplifting us, strengthening us. And we know without a doubt that we are one with this presence. And we say thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. The third Sunday of Advent, obviously that first Sunday, hope and faith. And the second Sunday, peace. So Advent, we continue our Advent journey today. It's the third week of our journey into Christmas. It's a journey to renew us through the birth of our own inner Christ presence. Our third candle represents love. Love is God. God in us and God through us. Let us light our lives today and recommit to lighting our lives with love. Mary represents love. Mary worshiped God and pondered on his truth. When love is directed by God, it manifests in wisdom and brings a greater awareness of the Christ presence. So I invite Jay and Gerilyn and Edison and Delaney and Phineas Berger to light our Advent candle, and I'm handing it to Jay. And those of you that don't know, Jay's on staff here. And we are truly blessed. And doesn't he have a fabulous family here? Doesn't he have a family? Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, Mother, God, we feel the power of divine love, that love that is always at work within us, preparing the way for the expression of the Christ selves. You are love, and we are love in expression. Love expresses in our homes as patience, as order, and as loving discipline. Love expresses in our world as peace and harmony and spiritual love. For all of these expressions, we do give thanks and we do give praise. And together we say, thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And again, thank you, God. And again, thank you, God. And we invite you to stand for our opening hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Thank you, and please be seated. Well, good morning. It's great to have you with us this morning. We welcome you to our sanctuary, and we also welcome those that are online with us today as well. A special invitation to you that are online, we invite you to come and join us in person whenever you're in the area. I think you'll truly enjoy being with us, and we would enjoy meeting with you as well. As you know, Unity is that open and welcoming and inclusive community, and therefore, one of our favorite things to do is to welcome those that are new or those that feel like they are new today. So if you're new to Unity or you have that newish feeling, as it was said earlier, I love it, that newish feeling, we invite you, if you would, just to take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. Anyone that are new or feel like they are new today, we'd like to honor your presence here today. Yes, well, we have someone that's new or feels like they're new over here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And those of you that are online, if you are new or feel like you're new, there's a contact card there. If you fill any part of that card out and then someone from our staff will reach out to you. Those of you that are in person in our sanctuary that are new, if you fill out a card, we'll be honored to reach out to you, and we have a special gift for you as well. All of that is important, but yet one of the most important things that I say on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this. And that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you're welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. Let's appreciate our guests this morning. Now, let's affirm together our mission statement. It is found in your order of service, our mission statement. Together, we are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and service. and the affirmation for the third Sunday of Advent. Together, on this day of Advent, I choose to awaken the song of love in my heart. Let's affirm that one again. Together, on this day of Advent, I choose to awaken the song of love in my heart. And the reading of our daily word.
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word. You are invited to mentally add your prayers to our prayer box. And after the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court, where you may add your written requests. You may also submit an online prayer request via our website. Your prayers are prayed upon with our prayer ministry for 7 days. Then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is love. I answer the call to love, embracing the world. Love is both a noun and a verb. It's more than just a feeling. It's one of the highest intentions I can hold, and one of the most sacred actions I can take. Love is the name and the nature of God. The pulsation of oneness from the center of my heart to the farthest reaches of an earthly existence. On this third Sunday of Advent, love is also a call to action. An invitation to perceive the world through the Christ presence and live as the love that I am. I open my heart and I let love flow forth as kindness, gentleness, and compassion. I stay grounded in the presence of God through my prayers. And I radiate love through my kind words and actions. I trust my loving impulses will reach far and wide. The light and joy I send forth grow and expand to encompass all things. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. From 1 John 3:18. And the word for today is love.
The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep in the But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle to watch lullaby. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
I invite you to join me in meditation. And if you've not done so, I invite you to just gently close your eyes. Take a deep breath with me. And then release and let go. Perhaps gently lower your shoulders, roll your shoulders, bend your neck. Do whatever you need to do to become comfortable in your chair. Allow the chair to support you. And as you surrender and let go again, I remind you that this is indeed a safe place. A place where we can release all those things that no longer serve us. We can surrender them into this infinite presence and let go. We remember the words from St. Paul today from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. Love never ends. And now faith and hope and love abide. These three. And the greatest of these is love. So if you've not done so, I invite you just to gently close your eyes and surrender to that eternal love that is God, knowing and giving thanks that the love of the divine within you never ends. On this third Sunday of Advent, feel the unending divine love today as patience. And by choosing patience today, you are indeed compassionate and you are kind. You draw patience from that Spirit of God within you as you exercise and direct spirit in every conversation and in every interaction. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never ends. Love never ends. And in this awareness, we rest for a few moments in the stillness and in the quiet and in the silence. and our faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest is love. And today we pray with those that have requested our prayers, represented by our prayer box. We hold each and every prayer request in this consciousness of love, giving thanks in advance for answered prayer, and for that we are grateful. We hold all of those in our community that continue to hold us in prayer when we so often forget. So I invite you, if you would, just to take a moment and take that deep breath again. And as you exhale, perhaps just gently open your eyes. Come back to this time and this place, knowing that we have been in the kingdom of love, the kingdom of God. And we say, thank you, God. Amen.
Windshields kissed with snow on this endless interstate. Over the fields we go, laughing all the way. We sing love, love, love. Friends and family near, no more judgments, no more fear. All is calm, all is bright. Everyone will hold this light and sing love, love.
Maybe it's just me, but it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. Ginger, thank you. Judy, choir, thank you. Lori, that song was my inspiration this week as I prepared for this lesson. Anything you want to share about it?
Judy picked it. Melissa Etheridge. Yeah.
Thank you, Judy. So just in case you haven't gotten the message, today is all about love. Do you get that?
Yeah.
And in addition to that, it's all about the importance of not making assumptions. Now, clearly, we are in the midst of Advent on that journey towards Christmas. And the word Advent comes from Latin, meaning an important arrival. And the tradition of Advent and that waiting period was originally a period of time that converts, and it began in the 4th century, where converts were preparing to be baptized. And that was that four-week period in which they, I don't know, whatever they did before they were baptized. And then now we know of it and think of it just as the 4 weeks as we prepare for Christmas. Ideally, Advent is all about a time of expectant waiting. It's waiting and listening. It's waking up to that fuller consciousness of that Christ presence. As we have been journeying to Christmas through Advent, we have been using the four agreements as a bit of a roadmap for this journey around Advent. And it's written by Don Miguel Ruiz. Now, if you are like me, you may for a time have assumed that Don was his first name. Not the case. Not the case. So the fact is that Don, as a label or as a name, is in many Latin American cultures, it's an honorary title and is used for people who are seen as successful, educated, financially, all that's in the mix, but also those who have really accomplished significant things in their life. And it could be personal achievements, it could be education, whatever it might be. And if you learn a little bit about Ruiz, you realize that, hey, he's done some pretty amazing things. He came from modest means, very, very modest means. He was the youngest of 13 children. He attended medical school, and eventually practiced as a surgeon doing neurosurgery. And at a certain point in time, he was involved in a near-critical car accident. And what had happened is he sort of reevaluated his life. And he, in that experience, he experienced himself kind of this out-of-body experience where he was this sense of pure awareness. And it was, he came from a tradition of shamans and things like that. And so as a result of that, he went back and studied and became a shaman after that. And his mission is all about guiding others towards that personal freedom. And he spent many, many years studying and analyzing how to heal the human mind. Following a heart transplant in 2010, he was re-energized to continue sharing his message, and he really combines ancient wisdom with science with practical tools, practical practices to help people transform their lives. Today, he is 70 years young and continues his lifetime commitment of sharing his wisdom. The four agreements are: be impeccable with your word, don't take anything personally, don't make assumptions, and always do your best. I promise you that practicing these four agreements will result in more faith, more peace, more love, and more joy in your life. In fact, I feel so confident in offering this to you that I'm willing to offer you a money-back guarantee. When we put these four agreements into practice, they allow us to live in a more authentic life, in a more meaningful and powerful way. The first required step in terms of these practices is all about self-awareness and becoming aware of our own limiting beliefs. Only when we're able to identify our limiting beliefs and negative thoughts can we challenge them and disrupt them, allowing us eventually to release them and let them go. As children, we take on so much negativity and negative beliefs about ourselves. It's as if we create this internal judge that's always evaluating, judging, criticizing ourselves. Can you relate to that at all? Okay. Most of those negative thoughts and limiting beliefs we take on unconsciously. Much of that is connected to shame. And I talk about shame as one of the most powerful emotions we experience as human beings. Usually it's one of those negative emotions that's not life-affirming. What then happens is we move into our adulthood with these negative beliefs and limited beliefs as well, and they tend to damage our soul and our psyche. Ruiz calls these false agreements and tells us that in order to live authentically and freely, we must identify them and then release these agreements because they just don't serve us. Now, this is easy to talk about, much more difficult to do. Letting go and healing our false and limited beliefs does not happen without reflection and without self-awareness. I'm curious, how many of you have had a childhood where everything was perfect? You were raised with unlimited, unconditional love. You were affirmed each day about your beauty, innocence, and divinity. How many of you experienced that? Most of us did not have that experience, including myself. Putting on my psychologist hat, I'm going to quote my friend Sigmund Freud, he tells us that no one leaves childhood unscathed. No one leaves childhood unscathed. He also said sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, and that's another lesson. The fact is that we take on plenty of limiting beliefs and negative thoughts about ourselves, and we tend to consciously bring those into our adult world and our adult relationships. Practicing the four agreements helps us to become more conscious and self-aware, as well as freer to express our authentic selves. The first Sunday of Advent, Reverend Phil talked about hope and faith, and the importance of moving hope to a place of confident faith. He introduced the first agreement, be impeccable with your word. Being impeccable with our words helps to establish greater faith in ourselves and greater faith in others. When I first read the first agreement and talk about the importance of being impeccable with one's word, I thought about, that is so unity, because we are all about the power of the spoken word. All about that power. We teach and we practice that power of the words. They are powerful, they are creative, and they can either build us up or tear us down. Whether it be words about ourselves or words about someone else. I believe that any word or thought about myself or another that is not reflective of our true divine nature and essence, it's a miss. It's a miss. The idea of being impeccable with one's word is a lifelong, ongoing process. It requires attention, discipline, and intentionality. Research tells us that in any given day, we experience as human beings approximately 60,000 independent thoughts every single day. Now, I'm not great at math, but if you take 60,000 thoughts and add, you know, a number of words for each of those thoughts, think about what the potential of that in terms of that calculating to. How many words do we use in our minds and with our voices that are truly uplifting and life-affirming? How many are perhaps negative, related to criticism, judgment? Always remember that words are powerful. Again, they can build us up or tear us down. Be impeccable with your word. A week ago, Reverend Tony explored peace and the second agreement. Don't take anything personally. First, I believe that the peace that I want in myself, for myself, in my world, begins with me. And that will not happen without me doing my own individual healing and likely some forgiveness work. Not only do we need to cultivate thoughts and words of peace, we may need to release regrets and hurts from the past. We may need to engage in difficult conversations. Yet healing, those healing conversations is about practicing forgiveness and making greater room for peace. I suggest that one of the most efficient ways to disturb one's peace is to take things personally. Regarding the second agreement, Ruiz tells us that nothing others do or say is because of you. What others are saying and doing is simply a projection of their own reality, their own dream. When we are immune to opinions and actions of others, we won't be the victim of needless suffering. As I think of the four agreements, this is the one that is most challenging for me and requires some ongoing attention. I was raised with the importance of what will others think? What will others think? And my mother would often say, well, what would so-and-so think? Or what would she think? And usually it was ladled with a little bit of shame. And so that was something that really stuck with me. I also think as people pleasers, we have a strong tendency of taking things personally. Any people pleasers here with me, or am I the only one? As I practice this agreement, I try to step back and coach myself through my hurt feelings and taking something personally. I remind myself that whatever happens is not about me, it's about a reflection of who that individual is. In those situations, I attempt to move from hurt to a place of compassion, and that when I find myself in that place of compassion, I'm much more open-hearted and willing to forgive and willing to be with that other person. We now move to exploring love and the importance of not making assumptions. Let me be clear. Not making assumptions is one of the most loving things we can do for ourselves and anyone else that we are in relationship with. Exploring love for just a bit, our daily word, I love how it reminds us that love is both a verb and a noun. On our spiritual path, we are called to be that love and expressions. We're called to be that presence of love. Love in action. Our co-founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, described love as an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. Love is the great harmonizer and healer. One of my favorite descriptions of love comes from Thomas Merton. And he describes love as an intensification of life. He also says, to say that I am made in the image of God is to say that love is the reason for my existence, for God is love. Love is my true identity. Selflessness is my true self. Love is my true character. Love is my name. He tells us that our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether they are worthy or not. That is not our business, and in fact, it is nobody's business. What we are asked to do is to love. And this love itself will render both ourselves and our neighbors as worthy. I firmly believe that we can't fully love and accept others until we fully love and accept ourselves. Part of our own spiritual journey includes healing our own inner critics and any thoughts or feelings of that unworthiness. It's been part of my journey. Not taking things personally, not making assumptions, foster self-love and our good medicine for unworthiness. The third agreement of no assumptions is a bit easier for me to practice, though it does require good communication skills, so we are not making those assumptions. There is tremendous wisdom in a statement that I suspect you've heard before. That statement is, to assume makes a out of you and me. Ruiz tells us that making assumptions is the root cause of much drama and suffering. As human beings, we often make assumptions, and some of this is related to how our brains are wired. Assumptions are the direct result of how our brains have evolved to process information in a more efficient way, taking limited sets of data and being able to come to a decision or a conclusion. Now, the problem is that sometimes they're not accurate. They're not accurate, and that's where we get into trouble. And so the best way to avoid operating from assumptions is through good communication. And communication is not about just speaking. It's about asking good questions to clarify and then actually pausing to listen to what you hear. Unfortunately, as human beings, we are predisposed to being lousy listeners. I've shared this from this platform before, but I want to reinforce it. The idea that as most human beings, we speak at a rate of about 150 words per minute. Some of us may speak a little faster than that. Our brains can process upwards of 450 words per minute. That's why as I'm talking with you right now, you are thinking, what is the point this guy's trying to make? What time are we going to be done for the services today? What time am I going to have for lunch? And so we all experience this in our human condition about all that internal noise, and therefore it's really hard for us to be present and to truly listen to others. We need to slow down, pause, to step back and be much more intentional, trying to hear, trying to understand, so we avoid making those assumptions. Besides truly listening to others, we also have to be willing. We must be willing to ask questions for clarification. And sometimes we don't want to ask for clarification because we fear the response. We're afraid of what they might say. Sometimes it takes courage to seek that clarity. We also have to be willing to ask for what we want and what we need. Have you ever been in a relationship where someone could read your mind? Yeah. Or you thought they could or should read your mind? I've not had that experience. Though, sometimes we operate under that assumption that they know us so well, and of course they should understand and know what we need and what we want. And when they don't provide it, we get ticked off. And we get hurt and angry and take it personally. Am I the only one that's experienced that? Okay, just checking. It takes courage sometimes to ask for what we need or want. And some of that is that we're afraid that they might say no, or we're afraid they might say yes, and we don't feel we might be worthy enough for what they're saying yes to. The bottom line is that we can avoid plenty of drama and heartache with clear communication and by asking for what we need and want. Practicing not making assumptions and not taking anything personally will result in greater peace, greater love, greater joy in our lives. Money back guarantee. Next week, we wrap up our Advent series with a focus on joy and the fourth agreement, which is all about always doing one's best. Our closer next week is Reverend Pat. In closing, I know you'd be disappointed if I didn't provide an assignment for you. And being a people pleaser, I sincerely hate to disappoint. I shared this assignment, or a variation of this assignment, about 4 years ago, and I believe wholeheartedly it bears repeating. Your assignment this week, if you so choose, is to review, reevaluate, and revamp your Christmas to-do list. Here's how I'm suggesting you do just that. Number one, rather than getting caught up in the hyped consumerism and materialism of buying presents and all sorts of things, be present. Be present. Be present to your own feelings and make sure to honor them, taking time to be present to the silence. Be present to the areas in your life where healing or forgiveness may be called for, and then take appropriate action. Especially be present to your loved ones when you're with them. Be present to the humanity that's all around us. Present to the hopes, the dreams, the heartaches. They are ever present. Be present to the beauty of nature. Number two, since you will likely be buying less gifts and more focused on the gift of being present, you will have less gifts to wrap. With that extra time and energy, I encourage you to wrap your loved ones in kind words, appreciation, affection. Wrap others in kindness, compassion, and the cloak of our common humanity. Wrap our world, and this is important, wrap our world in thoughts and prayers and a vision of peace. Peace for all living beings. Spend more time, this is number three, spend more time and less money The gift of time creates memories with those we love, and I suggest that gift is priceless. Spend time with yourself in prayer and meditation. Spend time in service to others. This is a tough one. Spend time away from technology and meaningless distractions. In our human condition, time is a limited gift, so use it wisely. And finally, rather than simply viewing and enjoying all the lights and the beauty of this season, be that light, be that beauty, be that unconditional love in expression. Especially, be that presence for those who are grieving or are lonely. I recently heard that we are experiencing an epidemic of loneliness. So be that present. Don't assume that everyone is merry and bright. Sincerely inquire about how others are doing. And if you sense even just a little bit of pain, ask how you can support. If you are experiencing loss or isolation, reach out to others. Let others know. We're in this together. Be the presence of compassion and empathy. Don't forget the power of just sitting with someone, especially when they're in a state of loneliness or grief. Sometimes that can be the most powerful thing we can do, is just sit with that other human being, not trying to fix it, not trying to talk, just being present, being a witness to that. Always remember that you and I are love, that love is our true identity. Love is our name. Our life purpose is to put that love into action within a world that is longing for more love. And like the baby Jesus, who we will soon be celebrating, we too are the Christ. We too are the light of the world. And so it is. Amen.
Showed a holy light. The shepherds feared and trembled when, up above the earth, they rang out
a
heavenly chorus.
Hallelujah.
That hailed the Savior's birth. Whoa.
Tell it on the mountain,
over the hills, and everywhere.
Tell
the world of Christmas morn.
Tell it on the mountain.
Oh, tell the way Jesus was born.
Tell it on the mountain.
Joy, tell. Down in a lowly manger, the Savior was born. God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go,
go tell it.
Go tell it.
Tell it.
On the mountaintop.
Go tell it.
Go tell it. When I was a seeker, I sampled night and day. I asked the Lord to help me, and He showed me the way. He made me a watchman on the city wall. And if I am a Christian, I am the least of all. This Christmas morn, precious Savior was born.
Tell it.
God sent salvation this blessed Christmas morn.
Tell it.
Run on, tell it. Tell the story of His glory.
I want you to go tell everybody in the world what a fabulous church here we have. Don't you agree? What a great music team as well. Oh, my goodness. Go tell it on the mountain. Yeah, I think a lot of my good news is right here in this sanctuary. Thank you, Father, Mother, God. Thanks for great, great music this morning. And I love sitting over here watching Judy Vinar direct this choir. It is worth singing in the choir just to watch her. Is it not? It's amazing. And Ginger Commodore, it's always great to have you here as well. And just wonderful. Lori, thank you. Thank you, Jindine. It's always good to have you here as well. Thank you so much. And Reverend Kevin, you really uplifted and inspired me this morning. I want to thank you for that so much. Wow. So great morning. Great morning here. Great morning. So at this point, I'm going to invite you to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis. It's very easy. You can do that through your QR codes on your program. You can do it electronically. You can do it with a check as our ushers come forth. I want to remind those online that it's also easy to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis as well. So if you're giving your gift with someone, I invite you to hold it together, bless it together, for you have the power to bless. So let us just take a moment and center ourselves as we bless these gifts today. We bless these gifts. Now let's affirm together our church offertory blessing that is found in your order of service. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Thank you, God. Amen. So we take a moment and we bless these gifts. And we bless all the gifts that's been received in the mail this week. We bless all those gifts that's been received electronically. We give thanks for these gifts as we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission of a transformed world. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. Inviting our own duty unity prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrived early. They held sacred space in the sanctuary, and they're here to hold that sacred space with you today, to listen with the ears of their heart, to pray aloud with you, and then to hold what they have heard in the strictest of confidence. So today, if you have a prayer request, by all means, seek out a unity prayer chaplain. And I think we have youth out there, if I'm not mistaken. I got the signal from the back. Let's stand and let's bring them in, okay?
In the light, in the light, in the light. We are walking in the light of God. In the light, in the light, in the light, in the light. In the light, in the light, in the light of God.
And I cannot imagine having someone better to take care of my youth than Reverend Jeanette Bowen, you know? What a blessing it is to have you here. It's good to have you. So let us know together our prayer of protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, I am divine, and all is well. And speak to at least three people before you leave the sanctuary today. And our peace song.
Now there is peace on earth, and it is big.
Good will,
Lord,
will
shepherd.
they're filled with joy.
You ought to know.
And then they whip to spread the word about the baby boy.
You ought to know.
Oh, yeah.
Then take them.
So